Another ad read, but something that is very important. The River City Red Army is partnering with Diversity Richmond to support local LGBTQ community here in the city. The Red Army prides itself on fostering an environment that welcomes all individuals to our section. For every goal scored by the Richmond Kickers in the month of June, five possible matches, I believe, they're going to pledge a few dollars per goal that will go to support Diversity Richmond. Diversity Richmond envisions a community where LGBTQ plus citizens are treated with respect and dignity, and their unique gifts are championed and celebrated, thereby strengthening our community. So, if you want to go help support, go to Pride Razor. We'll be down in the comments below. You can check out there, click on the link there, and go support. So, hopefully, the Kickers score a ton of goals, so you can pretty much bankrupt the Red Army. That's what you want to happen. All right. What's going on, guys? Welcome to River City 93. And before we even get started, happy Father's Day, Shanir.
Hey, thank you.
First one as a dad?
Yeah, first Father's Day.
How's it been so far?
It was good. Yeah. Low-key day.
Yeah.
Low-key day.
Nothing wrong with
Spend
that.
A lot of time with the little guy.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
That's the thing that matters in life. Well, we are in a better mood than where we were in at, roughly 24 hours ago.
Yeah.
For all those need to know, Richmond lost 2-0 to the team in Chattanooga. We lost the old man Darby. 0-2 to Chattanooga. We are going to talk about that. We have a lot of other things to talk about. I'm glad I knew this podcast last night, because if so, It would have been a rant.
It would have just been a straight rant.
You remember that one episode I did with Gordon where I had to keep like hitting the beep button?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been me.
Yeah.
Would have been me. But,
To say that. Start on a light note.
Yeah. U.S. Women's National Team won 3-0 against
Chile. And it could have been worse.
Yes, it could have been.
I mean, but Chile's goalkeeper was on point.
Yo,
press could have gotten 4.
Yeah, could have been. That would have been 7-0. But I mean, what was it? I don't think it was heavily rotated. It was a rotated squad, but I don't think it was heavily rotated.
No, it wasn't. I mean, Alex Morgan, I don't think she played.
Yeah, Rapinoe, I don't think played. Yeah. But it was still. It was a good game. USA qualified. I mean, not qualified. Well, yeah, qualified for the round of 16. They played Sweden on Thursday for first place.
Yeah.
So that's going to be interesting to see.
Well, I don't think that game is going to be much of a surprise, though. Looking at, I mean, we also need to talk about the midweek game, USA's Tuesday game, the Thai massacre. I mean,
we don't need to talk about it. This is my standpoint. I have no problem at all with celebrating.
Me neither.
I don't.
No. In the World Cup, you should never, no matter how much you're winning by, never take your foot off the gas.
Okay, this is my thing. Not even the fact that it is a World Cup. Yes, I understand it's 13-0. And should the players be swag surfing at that moment? Maybe not.
Why not? Because you need to understand that.
Well, this is me. The swag surfing was stiff. That's why. If you're going to do the celebration, make sure you do it right. Like, Toby Heath looked like she was ready to tear ACL.
Trying to swag. Yeah, you gotta get the dance right.
But this is my thing about it. It's simply playing. We're not gonna spend a whole bunch of time because it's been beaten to the ground already. My whole thing is this. Like, my coach told me multiple times, because I played on a horrible football team.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible football team. And he told us, if you get tired of people celebrating in the end zone, stop them. Simple put. Like, if you don't want to see them, I know people brought this thing, well, they can slide tackle you horribly, or they can go in for a strong challenge. Same thing with football. I can go in for an illegal hit, but you still score at the end of the day.
Exactly.
Like, the worst thing that insults me as a player, the two worst things that I take offense to as a player is when someone tells me scoreboard, and I know we're getting beat, and when I know a team is going halfway through it. Like, just going through the motions because the game is just bad.
Yeah. Yeah. another thing, we need to remember that they don't just randomly pick, you know, the teams to fill the groups for the Women's yeah. World Cup. Just like the Men's World Cup, you have to qualify.
Yeah.
If you qualify, that means you're ready to roll with the top guns. More if you definitely. Can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. And to be honest with you, I'm not a...
And this is the other thing, too. If people are so upset about the scoreline, then take issue with FIFA. FIFA need to invest more money into the women's game.
Exactly.
These federations around need the world. To invest more money into the women's game. Like, there's only a few nations that get money injected into them. Argentina's women's team had to sleep on buses before their group game because the federation didn't want to buy hotels. They spent all the money on the Copa on the Argentina team for the Copa America.
Mm-hmm. And look what happened to them. They just lost 2-0 to Colombia yesterday.
Yeah, where the women's team drew nothing to open the game. Like, it's just that disparity, man. Like, that's the thing.
I can understand the argument that the men's team, even when you're looking at the USA, U.S. men's national team didn't even make the World Cup last year. The women's national team are trying to see if they can be one of the first teams to get four World Cups.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, there, even though the women's team is that good, if you have a U.S. women's national team friendly, not even a friendly, if you have a U.S. women's national team World Cup game at, I don't know, FedEx Field. You are not going to sell anywhere near as many tickets as for a men's friendly.
Not even to that
and
point.
And that's what you got to look at on a monetary standpoint.
Not even that point. The U.S. women's national team opening game, we went to Gus's.
Yeah.
Now, granted, it was, what, a Thursday?
Tuesday.
Tuesday, 3 o'clock. When they see the game, bar was empty. We could have played musical chairs in there if we wanted to be real.
Yes.
But let it be a U.S. men's national team game.
Let it be an exhibition game.
Yeah. The place is packed.
Yeah, I remember the
thing is, like, people want to argue about, like, it just blows my mind how people want to keep throwing the men into the conversation about the women. The women are better.
The women are better than their competition.
Yeah. Yeah.
However, in the quality of, I mean, we have to admit the quality of the game, because if you were to pit the men's team against the women's team, sorry, the women's team would get smashed because that game is a lot slower. It's a lot slower, less clean. Yeah, I'm sorry. Right. It just is that way. But
my whole thing is,
if you're going to support your nation, support your nation.
Yeah. The federation, I take issues with the federations and FIFA.
Yeah.
Just support them both equally. It's not hard.
Because if you support them both equally, eventually the popularity, because you have a lot of, I run into it a lot with a lot of girls that I coach at Own Touch, or maybe if I'm, you know, subbing in for another coach out in Powhatan, who, they love playing soccer, they don't see a future in it. If you're not putting money into it, you're not going to get the talented players to buy into it.
Yeah, that's,
if they don't buy into it.
We can go real deep into that conversation, but a lot of things. All right, but besides that point, let's get to what everyone's listening for. The 0-2 loss to Chattanooga. I wasn't at the game. I watched the rewatch this morning, but I got like the highlights and updates about the game.
Mm-hmm.
From what I can say, honestly, first half, now granted, I was watching it while I was driving. Don't do that, kids. Never. it seemed like a game that kind of reminded me of how the Tucson game ended. It seemed like a game where the midfield wasn't really controlled by either side, but there was chances by both sides. And honestly, like, and Matt, shout out to Matt Myers, a good friend of ours. He was telling us about how there's a thing is shots, and then there's a thing is good shots. And I feel like Richmond has shots. We had very few good shots.
We had some field goals.
I mean, hey, the Mexicans said they are looking for a kicker. So
now, well,
I mean, this is my thing about it. About that game, both of the goals came from really just run a play. The first goal came from what? A long ball along the touchline, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And then just got played in behind, I think it's either Shinosky or Roslov. I can't quite remember.
It was Shinosky. It got played in behind Shinosky. Roslov, and then it was just trying to track back, but there was a big gap. And, I mean, he slotted it. I mean, from the angle, it was a tough angle. And Akira was coming out fast and making himself as big as possible, but he placed it well. Yeah. And it went in. But I would say that both of Chattanooga's goals came against the run of play.
Yeah.
The first half, I feel the kickers were a little bit disconnected. It was like, you know, remember those Sprint commercials? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Or was it Verizon? It was Verizon.
I mean, now, the guys would be either one, honestly.
Can you hear me now? Like, it felt like bad connection. There was a bad connection. Two players going for the same ball, you know, getting in each other's way a little bit. But as the game developed, the cleanliness picked up. And the kickers were kind of the ones that were taking most of the chances in the first half. I mean, our first chance was ballooned. Like, I think it hit the scoreboard. Like, it was hit that high. But you saw the ideas. You saw the movement. You saw that Chattanooga was struggling to put out the fires all over the field.
Yeah.
But
so, I'll let you put it.
But on the counter in the second half, on the counterattack late in the second half, now against the run of play, they get that one ball down the line, cut inside. The defense didn't transition quickly enough, and now there's space in behind. They put it in. So, I mean, up until the first goal, it looked like our game.
Yeah.
Chattanooga had some chances, but if they were building up the field, we're shutting them down. Akwe was awesome. He was shutting everything down that was coming that way. Shinosky was doing what he normally does, covering players, and when he gets the ball, making quality passes up the field.
Yeah.
I mean, it was business as usual, but we just couldn't finish. And then we just got caught on.
All right, so this is my question. My thing is, we always ask, what is plan B? And it seems like, and I made this statement to you before we started recording the podcast of how it seems as if a lot of our possession is to stop the other team from having the ball, but not really to build for the attack going forward. Because, like, we had 298 passes in our own back half.
Yeah.
Versus, I think, 196. I gotta check the numbers. I think it's somewhere in that region.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, I think.
But that tells you, like, we're passing the ball backwards.
183.
Yeah, sideways to sideways. Center back to midfielder. Midfielder to
fullback. Fullback to center back. Defensive midfielder.
It's not. Like, it's kind of like we're pronging.
I think Maxie touched the ball more than anybody on the field.
Now, granted, this is the same thing that we asked for, because this lineup looked good. Granted, we didn't have Greg starting in the top of the midfield three.
Greg wasn't even on the bench, which is kind of concerning.
Yeah,
we were talking about that.
I don't know if Bodok is hurt or whatnot. I hope he's not, because he leads the team in assist. He will work perfect up there in front of that midfield three. It seemed like he's the part of connecting. Hughes, to me, seemed confused. Like, he seemed to... He
seemed like he wanted to play Retzlaff's position, but he knew I have to be up here. Yeah.
He just looked very, like... instead of it looking like a 4-2-3-1, it looked more like a 4-3-Y-2-1.
Exactly.
So there's no one in the middle.
No one in the middle behind Chin.
Yeah, that can act pass. And honestly, and this is no disrespect to Chen and Jackson and Boateng, I think it's time to loan in another striker. Because Chen and Jackson are up there in age. Boateng is still very young.
I think someone in that middle range.
Yeah, just bring someone in. I think it's time. That's just my opinion on it. But, I mean, I love Gariota and Wape out there on the wings. Yeah. I love what they bring. Lockerbie was dangerous, as usual, from us. I don't know. When you go look at the numbers,
I feel that the goal that they scored,
The second goal...
The first goal that they scored, actually, I think part of the blame goes to Lockerbie because he didn't track back quickly enough and that whole side of the field was wide open. And the shift
caused a lot of opening space. Fullbacks that push up very high.
Yeah.
Because you imagine if you have a player like Torrey back there, Torrey's not pushed up that high.
Yeah.
So Torrey's naturally stuck in.
Yeah.
In between the winger and... coming in and
probably going to get a block on that shot or probably tackle the player before he can even get the shot off.
True. The second goal, what was it? What was the game that irritated me? Not the North Texas game. It was the game before that. It's a lot of games that's irritating me. I can't remember right now, top of my head. But, the Lancey game. It just seemed like we just... No, my fault. The Orlando City game with the set piece.
Orlando City, yeah.
Same thing happened here.
Yeah.
Like, it just seemed like set the teams
they just shut off.
Yeah, I understand it's a free kick. Not even a free kick. It's a set piece that's taken very quickly. Because he didn't even really get anyone set. He casually just did, like, a behind-the-leg pass.
Yeah. He just tapped it behind his leg and then
faded it into someone else, and then he just lays it off.
Yeah. The guy who started it is the one who scored.
Yeah, and it just seemed like Aquay was the only one to, like, yo, something's... There's a fire in the house. Get to it. He's the only one that reacted to it. And
I just want to give a shout out to Aquay again.
Yeah.
You know, on the definitely. Team of the week. Him and Akira both on team of the week.
And I heard Akira had another big save in this game.
Oh, yes. Akira had one great save. Chattanooga's keeper, what was his name again? Mangles had about two or three.
Yeah.
Again, the kickers were dominating in possession. They were creating more dangerous chances. There was one period of time where we had the ball all the way in the back and the ball was getting thrown in. When we were connecting passes, just making that winger just ring around the rosy, literally. And he was running, just ping, 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 and then getting the ball out.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of quick, clean movement in terms of the passing.
Is he nothing?
Now can we do that quick, clean movement while moving forward?
Yes, and I think that's the thing that needs to happen.
And I think it will. But again, this is one thing that I feel is... the biggest issue, it's going to take time to... You got to take it step by step. First, let's get our passes clean. Okay, our passes are clean. Now let's start getting those passes clean moving forward. Mm-hmm. So I guess we're getting to that stage where it's time, okay, the passes are looking good. Now can we move forward?
I think that's the part where we're stuck at. Because the clean passes, we've seen that since week two. We've seen the clean passes. But now we're in that phase where it's like, all right, it seems like now we know we can make the dangerous ball, like Shinovsky's long balls out to the wings.
Yeah.
But now it's like we have the long ball down, but we can't get the short in between the lines passes down at all. That helps us spread out.
Yeah.
And once again, when you play, we pretty much play three center defensive mids.
Yeah.
And to me, this is just me personally, against a team like Chattanooga who we watch, there's no need to play three center defensive mids. Where you could have played a player like Bulldog. Now, Bulldog can't give you a full 90. Mm-hmm. I totally understand it. Don't know what happened to Greg? Okay, I understand it. So then you might have to switch formations. Go to a 4-2-2. Play Jackson and Chin up top.
Yeah.
But the thing is...
If you play Jackson and Chin up top, then you can afford to... Because I think Josh Hughes can play on the wing. He has before, and he hasn't done that bad of a job. So now you can bring... Joey G as the cam in the situation. Because you got to remember, the last time we played against
if I'm playing Tucson, Hughes, honestly, I'm leaving Hughes at CDM. I'm leaving Hughes at CDM. I don't want Hughes nowhere near the wing. I'm sorry. I love you, Hughes. But I don't want you nowhere near the wing, my guy. I'll leave Joey G and Wapi out there. That was just my only concern. But the thing about it is, now when you play that CDM role, and you have Hughes and Rassel that kind of, they mirror each other. They're not like Maxey, where Maxey is kind of like that.
I think you would, what the best thing to do in that situation would play a defensive holding 4-3-3 and have Maxey as a CDM and play Josh and Retzloff as center mids, maybe box to box.
Yeah, okay, I can see that.
And then you basically would have, you know, everybody pushing up together. Yeah, you're sacrificing that cam position, but at least the formation is a little more sound.
But see, the problem with that then, does that formation allow Chin to thus get into that kind of midfield position? Not midfield, but that attacking mid position. So now,
to play as more of a target striker.
Yeah, so now he floats in middle. Does that now allow Gallardo and Iwapi to float into the box to kind of replace him?
Exactly.
So then it inverts it to being a 4-3-1-2. Yeah. Or Chin was the target
to
them.
Basically, a false nine situation.
And that's because
Chin is very physical.
He is. But
I mean, he's good. Any defender, no matter how big you are, if you're trying to get the ball from, you're gonna have to work hard because he'll fight.
Do you
and
trust
that's
Chin?
That's Jamaican in his blood, man.
Chin playing. That's true. This is very true. Do you trust Chin playing that false nine position? Because, to be honest with you, I don't. If you had to give me my choice of attackers, I wonder. I trust Joey G more because I trust Joey G's ball skills. When I look at Chin, I look at Chin as almost being like Olivier Giroud.
Exactly. But that's where you would play that position.
But mobility doesn't work there.
But that's where Moape and Joey G come into play. Because if you have him just holding off center backs, bullying them, winning the ball, bringing it down, now you have Josh Hughes and Retzloff running towards the play. That's now, true. Their options, if he needs someone who sees more of the field, or Joey G and Moape are just running past him and he can lay off.
I think the biggest thing now with the kickers right now is just, is that stale? Well, no, it is stale. Because you can see the formation. You can see what Coach Bulo wants to do. He wants to play possession soccer. For everyone that's asking, what are we doing if we don't have an offensive style and we don't have a defense? If you've listened to any podcast, I'm about to go on a rant. Pretty much, Coach Bulo wants to play possession-style soccer that is attacking.
Yes.
But I think the formation is hindering that because normally a 4-2-3-1 formation, in my idea, is more of a defensive block. Because
exactly.
You really have six players in front of the box and you have four pushing forward.
Exactly.
Versus a 4-3-3, like, holding. If you play FIFA, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you're
CDM
playing
the
holding. Yeah, CDM
is
two
it's
CMs.
It's a little bit more attacking because now you have two center mids that are not pushing, where that CDM kind of holds back and just guard the shields the front.
It protects the back line.
Yeah. The thing about that is, I know we want to get the fullbacks at four. I think, this is just my opinion once again, I think it might be time to kind of lay back off the idea.
It could be tweaked.
Yeah, I think it's time for things to be
tweaked. Because I do feel that, and this is, again, something. So this would be kind of going into what we wanted to talk about in terms of talking about.
Because, like, honestly, if you go look at the stats, like, if you just look at kicker stats alone, you had 16 shots total, 12 chances created, 3 big chances. We had 481 passes, 83 passes completed. Like, Chattanooga was just sending off the ball.
Yeah.
But the thing is
they were chasing the ball for most of the
game. Yeah, and the thing is, we lost the ball, and it was like everyone was just like, oh, crap, what do we do now?
Exactly.
And that's the thing. It's like,
exactly. I mean, Chattanooga just tried to attack quickly.
Yeah.
And when they attacked quickly, a lot of times we were able to, you know, put out the fire, and especially, like I said, Akwe and Shinosky did a great job of that. But that one opportunity,
but thing is,
ball comes down the line.
Being a defender, there's only so
much.
Like, I know when I play defense, there's only so many fires you can put out before eventually you create a fire.
Exactly. And even going further up the field, there's only so much protection that one CDM can give a back line.
Yeah.
So you have Maxey Rodriguez doing a great job of trying to protect that back line, but if when we're losing possession, they're putting killer balls in behind, and our fullbacks aren't tracking back quickly enough to protect the wings.
I feel like what it is right now, just to make like a horrible analogy, I feel like now we have a cup. We have a really great cup, and we're trying to fill it, but then there's a hole at the bottom, and so it's like, ooh, I can put my finger in it. But then when we put our finger in it, we have no way of holding the cup. It's like if you solve one problem, there's another problem that pops up, but then if you try
when
to solve,
you solve that problem, the first problem comes back
up. It's like, oh my God, what do I do?
Yeah. So well, I mean, like, at this point, this is what...
Because the thing is, the possession style system has given us the ability to have these shots, which we were lacking in the beginning part, but then, thus, us playing this possession style, I feel like the players are becoming lackadaisical defensively, thus leading to us like having those moments where we just lose concentration and teams pounce on us.
Well, it's a learning curve, and this is where I'm saying, especially I'm talking to all of my Richmond Kickers fans, we need to be patient, because when you are building a team, we need to remember there are only 4 players on that roster that were there last year. Yeah. Only four. Everyone else is new. Some of them came in a week before the season started.
And also, I want Kickers fans, let's also remember this. We don't get paid to do this podcast. We don't. Trust me. But this is the other thing to it. It's like, yes, I know that it is frustrating losing. We've lost 5 out of 6, scoreless in 3.
But when you're building a team, you shouldn't be looking at results. When you're building a program, especially, I would understand this if we were building a team off of a system we already have. Bulow is bringing a new system in, and we're building up a team.
Yeah.
Which means it's going to take a while for all of these new guys to get used to
This is my thing.
And then used to Bulow's
system. And this is my thing. Because Bulow, he made the point. He was like, it's going to be tough. You know who I equate Bulow to? And it's funny enough because he interviewed for the job and almost had it. It's like Greg Berhalter with the U.S. Men's National Team.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's been so used to the U.S. Men's National Team from 2014 and earlier being this great team in CONCACAF, which I will argue with someone who might not have been that great, but that's a different story. But Greg Berhalter comes in. The talent of the U.S. Men's National Team has not nearly been what it's been in years past.
No,
there's a slew of injuries. There's been a whole year of inactivity.
I wouldn't say that. I would say that the U.S., at the time where they could compete, they were content with where they were at.
Yeah,
and the rest of the world moved on and they stood still.
Yeah, and this is the same thing with the Kickers.
Yeah.
This is the thing. I'm not telling anyone how they should feel. That's not my job. I'm not a psychiatrist. I don't get paid for it. I barely get paid enough as a teacher as it is. But a lot of the hot takes I've seen, I think they come from a moment of frustration because it's like, yo, we're losing and nothing seems to be getting fixed. Like we said, like it's like if you solve one problem, something else pops up. But my whole take is, you got to understand, like a lot of us, and even like us, for instance, I fully admit it. I came in expecting us to dominate.
Against Chattanooga?
No, against like dominate League One.
League One.
But it's not until you then start looking at other teams and then realizing, like, yo, the reason why Lance is so good at pressing is because they've been doing this for years. The reason why Tormenta's good at counterattacking, the way how they are and effective with it, is because they've been doing it for years.
North Texas have been playing together since they were 10.
Like, so it's like you have those styles of play in place, and those are not things where it's, like, just easily done.
Yeah.
You know, Richmond Kickers, we are in a state of transition right now.
Exactly.
Because we've had the same head coach for 22 years.
Exactly.
I love Lee. And we all knew it was time. Like, Lee even knew it was time for him to be like, hey, I need to step off. Give it to someone else.
Yeah.
Granted, it didn't really change under Bulow, but we all knew that team wasn't all that last year.
I mean, that was halfway through the season. That was nothing. That wasn't Bulow's team.
It wasn't nothing he can do. My standpoint of it is, it's not fun watching your team lose every week.
No,
but as long as there is a plan in place, and we're not doing the thing of like what the Lakers did this past weekend, where they treat all their young talent to get just one superstar in and be like, "Hey, we can win a championship now." And if that doesn't work out, that superstar leaves after 1 year, LeBron gets older, you have nothing to build off of.
Yeah.
You have no backup plan. So it's like, there's a reason why we went to League One.
Yeah.
Because we needed to rebuild. Yeah, we needed to rebuild. We didn't have the finances.
Yeah, we didn't have nowhere near the finances to compete with the USL Championship team.
Ever having an owning body.
Exactly.
Like, the first year ever.
So, again, this transition is not just in terms of brand new players, brand new coaching system. It's also a brand new front office, a brand new ownership, brand new ideas coming in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the Richmond Kickers are getting a complete full makeover. The makeover is not over yet.
Yeah.
It's not done yet. We still have work to do in terms of giving this club a makeover. And at the end of the day, we need to remember that this is the longest continuous running, the oldest continuous running club in the nation. We're going to be okay. We've got to just let this rebuild happen. We need to upgrade. We need to stick with the times, to get with the times, to understand how to develop this system.
Yeah.
It's going to take time.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. We may make the playoffs. I'm pretty sure that if with the how long this season is, I guarantee you by mid-July, most of our issues on the field will be somewhat figured out. And we will make the playoffs. Are we going to win the cup? Most likely not. But that is a step towards the future. It's a step towards... Because I feel like there are a lot of people...
I'm not trying to be like an apologist or anything. Or be like... I'm not trying to be that. But it's like you just have to be realistic and look at it. We right now, even though we are eighth at the table, we are a top six side.
Yeah.
We are a top six side. And if we don't make the playoffs the first year, what I want to have... to see it be a successful season, and I want to see a progression of us getting better, not only on the field, but like tactically. I want to see the tactics get better. Because Buell isn't, and this is the thing, it's very easy to get harped on, well, this is his first year. He should be doing better. He should be winning games. But you have to look at it, it's his first year of coaching. Like my first year in the classroom versus my fifth year now, I was a crap teacher my first year. Had no idea what
coaching.
To do.
Me too. I had no idea what I was doing.
It's like, all right, I'm in the flow. Like, what we got to do? Like, it's come second nature.
Yeah.
And you're learning that.
And another thing is, when we keep players, when we're able to keep players, we get to that point where next year, Buell isn't teaching an entire team on his own, his system. He has players who have now spent a whole season learning his system, who are helping him teach the new guys coming in that system.
You're not having to thus reteach. For those who, let me give this analogy. Imagine teaching a five-year-old how to ride a bike. That five-year-old learns how to ride a bike, and then the very next day, you get a completely different five-year-old and have to teach him how to ride a bike.
Yeah.
Repetitively. Like,
every day it's a new kid.
Every day is a new kid.
That's what the Richmond Kickers are trying to avoid.
Yeah.
They're trying to make sure that they can keep certain players. You keep certain players. Here's what I think. If the players can keep one or two players in each row of formation, so at least two defenders, at least two midfielders, at least two forwards, we're golden. Because if those six players can be the leaders for the next season, saying, all right, you're new to the Kickers. Here's what we do. So Buell doesn't have to spend as much time in practice teaching them what they do. So, again, it takes time. Yeah.
We're not like Cleveland Browns rebuild bad.
No.
Yeah,
Cleveland Browns rebuild.
Rebuild was like epically, horribly, epically bad.
They just never rebuild.
Yeah, they were just there. Oh, checks coming in, let's go.
That's not how it works.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are looking at, you know, when you look, I feel that there are a lot of fans that don't really understand how the soccer world works.
I wouldn't say
that. They'll look at, for example, a team like Manchester City and say, oh, all I've got to do is throw a whole bunch of money a bunch of players away. Guess what? Manchester United tried the same thing. Look where we are.
We're not going to talk about that?
No, but we do need to talk about that because at the end of the day, this
no,
is...
No, we're not talking about United.
No, we're not talking about United.
But
no.
This is the thing about it.
There needs to be a method to the madness. And I feel that there is.
Yeah.
And because there is, people need to be patient.
I guess this is the reason why, and correct me if I'm wrong, we are both not like ready to flip a table and break stuff. Is because we see there's a long-term plan and we're fine. We're like, all right, we know there's a long-term plan in place. We both have stated that, yeah, year three, you can really judge Bulow.
Thank you.
If Bulow doesn't... scale back. Year two at this point, if nothing has changed, and it looks like, all right, hey, you had a full year underneath your belt to get the kinks worked out. Year two, nothing's really changing. All right, now let's look to see if we can get someone else. I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm totally fine with it. But...
Here's my thing. If it happens sooner...
I'm not comfortable
calling. I'm going to be absolutely happy. But I think it's at least 3 years before we win the USL One Cup.
Yeah.
I think. Because we need to build. I'm sorry. There is no way that this Richmond Kickers team, even if with them being at their best, can top that North Texas team that have been playing together for so long. They know each other like the back of their hand. Yeah. They know each other more than they know their siblings. That is very, very important. And that's something that takes time to build. So these guys have been playing together since they were 10 years old. Of course they're blowing the league away.
Yeah. And, I mean, also to that point.
And then there's Pepe.
Look, when I saw he got called up to FC Dallas for the U.S. Open Cup game, by the way, he played pretty well.
Yes.
To be what? 17 years old. You got players like that who is probably going to be our national team striker, give or take, in the next 5 years.
Five? I'd say maybe in the next two.
Nah.
If he continues to improve as much as he has, it's... look at what strikers we have.
Let's at least let him get to FC Dallas full-time first before we start saying he's going to end
that season. I feel like he's going to get that by next year.
You can send all disrespectful tweets to Shanir Duran II. I feel better now. I don't know, man. I see where a lot of people are coming from because losing 5 out of 6, not scoreless in 3, it's been a bad run of form, yo, since May the 11th. We beat FC Tucson.
Results wise, but the thing
is, I think this is the dual edged sword of Bulow's system.
Yeah,
where it works when it's working, it's working.
Yeah,
but it's like once our players, and I think a lot of our players, granted, are young. Like we remember we talked about like the average age on those positions.
Yeah.
A lot of those positions are still young.
Yeah.
I think the thing is, once our players get in our head, it's a wrap. It's like, yo, like if we miss a chance, it's like, all right, well, instead of me shooting on my right, maybe I put it on my left.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe if I don't dribble around him, maybe I can pay answer. I feel like now we're going back, regressing a little bit and doing like the safer pass and maybe I don't need to take that touch or maybe I don't need to do this or as long as I get the ball away from me, it's okay. I feel like now we're going back into that mode and it's almost like, once again, shout out to my friend Taylor Rockwell for Total Soccer Show. If you haven't listened to him, you know, they're a brand new podcast. Listen to them. and I'll give him credit for the turn. It's pretty much like a quicksand game. And I feel like our quicksand game was really, I wouldn't even say the North Carolina FC game.
No.
Because to be real with you, that game was...
We knew.
We couldn't compete.
We couldn't, no.
You know,
The first half... If we do something, we do something.
The first half,
that we scored a goal, I'm happy.
The first half, we competed. The second half, that game got away from just because time was better.
Yeah.
It would not.
Big
the club. Quicksand game was the Greenville game.
Yes.
Because if you draw that game...
Then you got something to work with.
Then you've been like, all right, the sink isn't going bad. So then the Orlando City B game was... We're down 2-0 because our players are still like, yo, they're supposed to be kids. We're supposed to be dominating. Then you come back and score 2. So then you're like, all right, well, we got this. And then the penalty.
Yeah.
So then that is stuck in your head. So now you're like two losses. You're like, yo, something gotta give. And I've been in those moments where as an athlete, it's like, for those who don't know, I did track and field. Mm-hmm. So if I had two bad meets in a row, two bad like shot put meets, the third meet, I'm like,
yo,
I second guess myself. I'm like, all right, do I mm-hmm. need to tweak this? Do I need to do that? That didn't work. Do I need to change this? And you're like, something has to give.
Yeah.
And then the North Texas game.
I mean, that's North Texas.
But at the same token, yeah, it's North Texas. But at the same token, you can just tell, like, confidence was just shot.
It was shot. And then to go up against Tucson, a team we beat 2-0.
And it didn't go to Tucson.
We can't
get the draw.
To get the draw. That was almost as... I think to us looking at it in terms of the game, we see that, okay, yeah, that is a point earned because we played well. We did a good job. But for them, after losing that many games, it's like, we beat this team. Now we can't beat them?
Yeah.
Like,
and then,
it's like...
And then on the flip side of it, it's like, this is a team that you previously beat. This is also a team where if a chance go for Tucson, we're down, losing four straight now.
Yeah.
So, and then on that standpoint of, it felt like it was a game where we got in our head again. Joy G had a perfect chance. Two chances that goal. Missed both of them.
Oh, well, one of them was blocked.
Yeah, one of them was blocked. But still,
that's the one that would have been goal of the week.
Joey G, when we won 4 out of 5.
Was burying everything.
Yeah, he's burying that. Like, Joey G, when he was in form, scored against the same goalkeeper from further out.
Yeah.
And now closer, it just seemed like he was in his head. So that's why I think this team is right now. I think this team is in his head. You can see there's creative stuff, but when you're, as an athlete, when you are in your head, you are in your head. So,
yeah.
I ask you this. Do you think it's time, and we'll ask you guys on Twitter, whatnot, do you think it's time for the kickers to start giving some of the energy guys, like Mendez, Eckenrode, we already seen Ratzlaff, like Pavone, to start giving them a chance and a run?
In terms of coming off the bench, yes. I don't think in terms of starting, because then after, so that's rubbing salt in the wound of the confidence.
But see, I think about it as this, and this is just me. I think about it as a coach protecting his players, because he can see, like, if you see your player, one of your players stuck in his own head, whereas you know the ability of him, mm-hmm. but since he's stuck in his head, he's playing 10 times below that.
Mm-hmm.
Versus him, I keep putting you out there, you getting hit by the firing squad,
mm-hmm.
pulling him off. Not saying, like, hey, don't ever play him again. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But bring him off the bench and give him 10, 15 minutes. So where he's 10, 15 minutes, he's a spark plug. And then he's like, all right, I got my confidence back.
Yeah.
I made good passes. I made the correct turns, you know?
Yeah.
And then you build him back in.
Yeah, I mean.
But give guys like Mendez, give. Right now, I see nothing wrong with it's no perfect answer to it, because we don't have a magical eight ball here. Be like, shake the ball and be like, do I have this? Yes. No.
Yeah.
That doesn't work that way. but I see no argument. I see no problem with giving the guys on the bench, the energy guys, the chance to start and see what they can do.
Yeah. I do agree. I mean, what's the point of having
backups
if you're not going to use them.
Yeah. And I will say this. That is one of the things.
These are the type of situations you should use your backups.
And this is one of the things where it's like, I feel like Bulos has excelled at, is building a roster that has depth on it.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, you look at kicker's bench and the kicker's roster in general, you see that they're...
I would say depth from the standpoint of, it's not like in years past, where we were starting the same 11 week mm-hmm. in, week out. That's great. That's fine. That's dandy. That's great that you have, because you got that same 11 players playing week in, week out, but we know injuries happen.
Yeah.
So when we lost like a player like Amora, our whole offense was the crap, because the backup was not prepared to play.
Exactly.
When we lost Delly.
You can't.
When we lost Delly, or when we lost Yambi, or when we lost, I said last, my fault, lost Yambi or Delly. Or Shriver, or what's his name? I can't remember. Or Asante or Davis. You can tell the team just looked completely shot.
Yeah. But then you look at, I would say, the glory days, If you lost Delly, you had Yaisley. If you lost Yambi, you had Kalunji.
Yeah.
If you lost, like, we had a deep squad, yeah. But then all of a sudden, now this player's gone, that player's gone. If you lost Troyer, you had Shane Johnson. Yeah. You, like, it was that's, a so much that's better.
I think Beulah has built a squad where it's like, I can put in Mendez for Nwabi if I need to.
Exactly.
But the thing is, I believe, and this is just me once again speaking Coach Beulah, when you listen to this podcast Walking Your Dog, please do not send me any angry tweets. Send them all to Shanir.
He probably wouldn't send me a tweet. He'd probably just find me.
We'd probably get stern looks, and then he'll just smile. And, come on, guys. But this is the thing. I think it's just a matter of just... I know Coach has trust in these guys, but he's not putting players on his squad that he doesn't trust.
Yeah.
But I think it's just enabling that body to be like, hey, look, you're starting.
Yeah.
Go. Not just saying go like Bruce Arena tell Pulisic and just... Go out there and try stuff.
Go out there and just do stuff.
But
yeah.
Go out there and be effective and do not be scared. And I think that's the thing he's trying to instill, but it's hard. It takes time. We've harped on it. Let's get to the real meat and butter. I mean, not meat and butter. God, I'm hungry. This is too. What happens when you drive like 11 hours straight.
Oof.
Yesterday. Yeah, because my sister-in-law gave birth. My nephew graduated. Yeah, so I'm tired. But our next upcoming game is against Tormenta, second in the league, on, I believe, 22 points.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. They beat Orlando City B 2-0. And I'm not going to lie to you, they played all straight counterattack.
Just straight counterattack.
Like, if you go look at the stats, and even look at the game, it was like...
OB2 just had more passes, more... possession.
Only thing they didn't ball. Lead they in didn't was shoot. The two most dangerous things was shots and goals.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, I
like,
mean,
it was like Tormenta was sitting back, like, oh, you wanna press up? All right, bet we'll take the ball and we'll go score. Like that's what happened.
Yeah, yeah. You and know? They had so many chances. Most of their chances, from what I saw of the highlights, most of their chances came from that counterattack.
Yeah,
and the thing that scares me is that Chattanooga's goals. The first one, at least, came from a counterattack. The second one, the foul, came from a counterattack.
Yeah.
So, can we fix this problem before next week? Can we adjust to...
One thing that
prepare for this counterattacking style that these teams are coming up against us with? I think it's... They're attracted to the counter-attacking style because of our attacking aggressive fullbacks.
Yeah.
And they feel like, oh, they're spacing behind on the wings. Let's capitalize on that.
I agree. I mean, this is the thing that I'm looking for in this game. One is, I want if we're going to play this 4-2-3-1, make sure that we have a person in that midfield that is flexible enough that if Beulah is like, hey, look, we're bringing three to the middle of the field to protect that back four. He's flexible enough to do that, but then also flexible enough to be attacking at the same time.
And that's why I think...
Because I think...
Boldock and Retzloff and Maxi in the three in the mid.
Yeah, and I think Hughes is a mixture of more defensive, where I think Greg is more attacking.
Yeah.
I think you got to find a balance with that. I'm also looking to see more of our passes be more in their half. So if we're going to have possession, I want more attacking possession. If you want to hold the ball from the other team, that's fine. That's great.
Yeah.
But don't just have it passing behind the back line to the midfield. Kind of have it up there in that top part, so where players can then run off of each other, open up channels.
Yeah, but I think a lot of and this is something that I've seen coaching. A lot of coaches focus on defensive players being able to pass under pressure. But the attacking players need to be able to pass on the pressure too. Because that's where the pressure is the heaviest.
Yeah.
Because that's where the entire other team is trying to sit behind the ball to prevent you from scoring. You have less time on the ball, which means you're attacking your wingers, your striker, your attacking midfielder, your box-to-box midfielder. Need to be able to move the ball quickly under pressure and not just think, oh, if the ball gets taken away from me, we're in the opponent's half, so we're fine.
Yeah. No,
you need to keep that ball in the opponent's half. If you keep that ball in the opponent's half... That's when things get more dangerous. To be honest with you, that's what Barcelona does. Yeah. They pass the ball around in the opponent's half, forcing defenders to... When you're shuffling side to side for 15 minutes, your legs are going to give. Yeah. And that's what Barcelona does.
Yeah.
So that exercise of making sure that your defensive players can work well under pressure needs to translate to the attacking players as well.
So I think, and to all the fans listening to this, it is fine being frustrated.
It is. It is. And I got frustrated too.
Not arguing with you on that one, but it...
Don't post anything until you've had time to sit down and take a deep breath, maybe a glass of wine, and really think about things in terms of, in the big picture.
I think there's more for me. I think I got a text from you like at 12. I was like, hey, look, get off Twitter. Not worth it.
No, don't.
Anything else for you from a good man?
No.
School's out for me, so from you guys, look, expecting we're about to be doing more interviews.
Yes.
We got about to be working on a t-shirt deal. Summer's about to be big for us.
Yeah.
About to be big for us. So with that being said, guys, you can check out the podcast on Twitter at RiverCity93. You can also listen to us on Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Anchor FM, and of course, but last but not least, the Beautiful Game Network. We want to say thank you to our sponsors, Go to Go Press, the best choice for you to get your custom shirts, hats, mugs, and other items for just yourself or your organization. Check out their amazing products at a fraction of the price at other places. That didn't make sense in my head. GoToGoPress.com. Also, thank you to Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier to MLS, USL, and US Soccer. Get your custom scarves for your group or team at RoughneckScarves.com. So, with that being said, guys, this is Elliot.
This is Shaneer.
Keep us on the good side and keep us in your prayers. I'll tell you no matter.